Hello, everyone. Do not adjust your ears. I'm not John Steele and would never claim to be. I am, in fact, Stuart Smith, holding down the fort for this J-Talk Extra Time J2 mini-pod, which will go over the games played last Saturday and Sunday in Japan's second tier. But before we get on to the actual on-pitch action, we had some breaking news earlier on tonight. I'm recording this on Monday evening, Japan time, and we found out that Viva and Nagasaki are replacing their manager, Takayuki Yoshida, after his very underwhelming start to the season. His last game in charge was a 1-0 defeat at Mito Hollyhock, and while Yoshida will remain on the coaching staff, the top job has gone to current academy director Hiroshi Matsuda. That's an interesting dynamic there. We'll move on to Nagasaki's game later on in the roundup. But first, when we get onto the actual on-pitch action, we should start at the top, where both the top two continued their hot starts to the season. Albirex Niigata beat Jeff United 2-0 at the Big Swan on the back of two goals from suddenly red-hot forward Kaito Taniguchi. Albirex are now 11 unbeaten from the start of this year. FC Ryukyu kept up the pressure after they gave Sagami Hara a real hiding, thumping them 5-1 at Gion Stadium. Two goals from Koki Kiyotake and others from Ren Ikeda, Shunsuke Motegi, and an appearance from Mr. Own Goal mean that FC Ryukyu stayed just 1 point behind Albirex at the summit. Kyoto Sanga sit third after their wild 3-2 win against Ehime FC. Jordy Boyce netting what turned out to be the winning goal in the 76th minute. And Jubilo are just behind Kyoto after their 3-2 win of their own. Lukian, their Brazilian striker, scoring twice in the 3-2 victory against Tochigi at the Yamaha Stadium. Elsewhere, Vanfori Corfu leapfrogged their opponent Suigen Kanazawa after Jin Izumisawa's second half strike helped them on their way to a 2-0 win at the wonderfully named JIT Recycle Stadium. That's an ironically wonderfully named stadium, I do feel. At the bottom, it is Giravants Kitakyushu who are doing their best to prove all the preseason doubters right as they hit rock bottom after Kunitomo Suzuki. Yes, that's the very same Kunitomo Suzuki who played for Giravants last year, scored an 83rd minute winner for visitors Matsumoto Yamaga. Omiya Adija still find themselves in the bottom four after a 1-1 draw at Tokyo Verde. Masahito Ono curled in a beautiful opener for Adija, opening his left foot and curling one into the top corner past Verde keeper Mateus to put the Squirrels in front, only for, well, Mr. Goal himself, Junki Koike. He smashed in a really sweet volley to earn Verdi a share of the spoils at a supporterless Ajinomoto Stadium. Renault for Yamaguchi pulled out a much-needed win as they smash and grabbed Machida Zelvia at Nozota. Two breakaway goals, one from Kazuma Takai, a nice, cool and collected finish, and the other from Ren Komatsu gave Susumu Watanabe's men the win, although Zelvia did have a kind of love affair with the frame of the goal in the first half. Hasegawa and Taiki Hiroto both hitting the frame of the goal in the opening period. I mentioned the Mito and Nagasaki game earlier, and it was Koya Okuda's first half goal that was enough to win it for Mito. In all honesty, it could have been more if not for some fine goalkeeping by Nagasaki goalkeeper Tomizawa, although Nagasaki did have some chances of their own to get something back. Ultimately, that was Yoshida's last game in charge for Nagasaki. As we continue the wrap-up elsewhere, Fajiano Okayama came from Shoryu Stadium in Akita with a 1-0 win. That's only one win in the last six for Akita, and what looks like an acute shortage of goals, having only scored more than one goal on just one occasion this season. It was Hiroki Yamamoto's goal that was enough for Fajiano to cement their mid-table credentials. And new management team of Peter Klamowski and Kenta Kawai got their Monterio Yamagata reign underway with a 2-1 win at Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma. That's it for the action from last Saturday and Sunday. But looking ahead, there is another set of fixtures on the horizon very soon, coming on Wednesday, in fact, which is a public holiday here in Japan. This set of fixtures is headlined by second place FC Ryukyu hosting third place Kyoto Sanga. Wow, that should be a bit of a ding-dong battle there down in Okinawa. The other highlights include leaders Albrex Niigata travelling to the NAC 5 to face the struggling Omiya Ardija, while Nagasaki will look to kickstart their season when they welcome Blau Blitz Akita and their intrepid journey to their Transcosmos Stadium home. It's a hell of a long wait from Akita to Nagasaki. That's all from me, bringing you up to date as much as I can. Thank you for listening to me, Stuart Smith, and stand by for Mike Innes and his J3 Short Corner.
J-Talk Extra Time.
Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode, I'll be looking back on matches in Round 7 of the league season and previewing games coming up this weekend, as a number of J3 teams look to qualify for the Emperor's Cup. Before the main business, a quick look at some items of J3 news since the last pod. The Round 6 game between Fukushima United and Iwate Gurugia Morioka, postponed from the 25th of April due to positive COVID tests among the squad at Fukushima, has been rescheduled for Wednesday the 26th of May. This isn't a public holiday, and the kickoff is 1 p.m, an arrangement reminiscent of several J2 and J3 fixtures last season, so the attendance for an important game and a Tohoku derby looks set to be modest at best. Roasso Kumamoto's experienced midfielder Tomotaka Okamoto is expected to be out for 10 weeks after picking up a hamstring injury in his team's win over Fukushima in Round 5. But now to the action in Round 7, and what a round it was, with results in many cases confounding pre-season predictions and emphasising how hard it is to call J3 this year. Saturday the 1st of May has been a red letter day in the diary of Nobuhiro Ishizaki ever since the fixtures were released. This date saw the coach of promotion-chasing Katare Toyama take his current team to previous employers Fujieda My FC, and in his starting lineup, Ishizaki picked three players who had moved with him from Fujieda. One of them, Tsubasa Yoshihira, had a great chance to put Toyama ahead in the 16th minute when a superb curling through pass by Shunta Takahashi freed him up for a one-on-one with MyFC keeper Takiya Sugimoto, but Yoshihira shot disappointingly wide. 5 minutes later, Katane's defence was exposed down its left flank when Ryosuke Hisadomi advanced into the area and squared for Takayuki Miyamoto to blast in his second of the season. Toyama were on several occasions in danger of conceding a second, courtesy of their less than solid back line, but they engineered a way back into the game 18 minutes from time. After a powerful Shoma Otoizumi run into the box, Shaw Hanai went down as if he'd been shot, still found it within himself to glance hopefully back at the referee, and was rewarded for his efforts with a spot kick, duly dispatched by Yoshihira. And so it finished, Fujieda 1, Toyama 1. An unconvincing performance by Ishizaki's team, stealing a point from an opponent who seemingly did more to win the game. 4 games unbeaten, though, for both sides. The other Saturday match saw Kamatamari Sanuki looking for their first points of the season at home to Azul Claro Numazu, who in the early rounds of the campaign have focused with some success on defensive strength, a strength nevertheless compromised by their powder puff attack. In Zdravko Zimunovic's first home game as Seneki coach, was anything going to give? Not surprisingly, it turned out to be a game of few chances, but in the 73rd minute, Senoki's one-to-watch substitute Yuga Watanabe sent over a cross from the right. Kentaro Shigematsu's header was blocked by keeper Ryusuke Otomo, but Kazuki Iwamoto was on it like a flash to knock in the rebound. Masataka Imai's Azul Claro are not set up to chase the game, and they were unable to force more than two easy catches out of Kamatamari netminder Takuya Takahashi. Final score, Senoki 1, Numazu 0, and Kamatamari's season is finally underway. Moving on to the games played on Sunday the 2nd, the teams near the top of the table were looking to exploit the opportunity presented by a Toyama's Saturday draw. For their home match with Kagoshima United, the coach of surprise package Iwate Guruja Morioka, Yutaka Akita, gave a first league start of the season to Yuki Shikama after his goal in the Emperor's Cup qualifier 2 weeks ago. And Shikama quickly got himself involved, first shooting over the bar following a layoff by Taisuke Nakamura, then playing a high-pressing game to win possession in the area and set up Brenner, who side-footed home to open the scoring. Shikama nearly made it 2-0 in first-half injury time, but sliding in to meet a long cross from the Iwate right, his shot went just wide. 5 minutes after the restart, Kagoshima pulled level, as the home defence failed to deal with an in-swinging corner and Shuto Nakahara scrambled it over the line. Needing the win, Iwate turned up the pressure, and from an 85th minute corner of their own, first Shunji Masuda's volley from the edge of the area crashed against the bar, and then Kosei Wakimoto's header was cleared off the line, Kagoshima keeper Shogo Onishi stranded. But the visitors couldn't get the ball away, and as they tried to regroup, Masahito Onoda swung a high ball back to the far post, where Iwate captain Yusuke Muta comprehensively beat Kagoshima's Fogechi to win the header, sending it arcing over Onishi and in. Final score, Iwate 2, Kagoshima 1. Is there starting to be a real sense of belief about this Morioka side? In 2020, would they have had the determination and desire, indeed the reason, to win this game? Remarkably, in 2021, it's Iwate Guruja Morioka who are turning themselves into the team to beat. As for Kagoshima, Arthur Pappas was for the first time able to throw on new forward Gustavo as a substitute, while defender Gerson was also on the bench. But Pappas's team overall is a work in progress. Which is the bigger shock? To find perennial strugglers Iwate performing so well? Or for one of their nearest challengers to be league newcomers Tegevajaro Miyazaki? The team fresh out of the JFL were at home to FC Imabari, experiencing a tough second season in J3 after themselves making the move from non-league. One member of this Tegevajaro team, Kosuke Fujioka, is, to this observer, putting in an early claim for J3 Player of the Year. The 26-year-old, previously on the books at Fagiano Okayama, notched his fourth of the season to give Miyazaki an early lead, as his shot from the edge of the area nicked off the defender to squeeze inside the post. There were half chances for both teams before Tegevajaro went 2-0 up in the 48th minute, visiting goalkeeper Tomohito Shugyo and defender Chon Hanchol together making a complete mess of a long pass into the penalty area. Their indecision allowed big rookie striker Keigo Hashimoto to steal in and head the bouncing ball over the line for his first J-League goal. 7 minutes later, with Imabari coach Luis Planaguma waiting to make a triple substitution, his team pulled one back. Miyazaki keeper Shunsuke Ueda punched away a high cross into his area, only for the ball to fall to veteran Hideo Hashimoto, who calmly lobbed it back over a crowd of players and into the unguarded net. One of those Imabari substitutes, Valdemar, hit the outside of the post with an injury time header, but the game ended Miyazaki 2, Imabari 1. As with Nobuhiro Ishizaki on Saturday, another coach taking his current team back to a former employer was Takeshi Oki, whose Roasso Kumamoto were at FC Gifu. With both sides looking to climb the table, it was a game full of opportunities, played out against a backdrop of the home crowd's noisy drumming and clapping. They nearly had a goal to cheer as early as the third minute when Kensei Nakashima's beautifully judged pass released Wataru Hashimoto, whose first-time cross was met by in-rushing forward Toma Murata and Kumamoto keeper Yuya Sato almost simultaneously, Sato's intervention preventing a clear attempt on his goal. Less impressive was his decision half an hour in to leave Nakashima's flighted pass to the far post. Evidently, Sato was unaware that Hashimoto was racing in to meet the ball on the half volley, which luckily for Roasso went into the side netting. For the visitors, Sota Higashide was busy down the left-hand side, sending a low shot curling just wide and then forcing a save out of Kazushige Kirihata at the near post. The game's decisive moment occurred 10 minutes from time, when Kumamoto's bright young winger Naohiro Sugiyama curled a free kick round the wall. Perhaps unsighted, Kirihata rather fumbled the save, and his defence was sufficiently understaffed that the alert Hayato Asakawa had an easy job finishing on the rebound. Soon afterwards, the referee waved away Yosuke Kashiwagi's penalty claims when the Gifu sub went down after a minor tangle with Kohei Kurogi, and in the last minute of normal time, with the home side pressing desperately for the equaliser, another substitute, Leleu, sent a half volley flying just past the post. It finished Gifu 0, Kumamoto 1, a successful trip for Oki and his Roasso side, but a second consecutive loss for Takayoshi Anma's men. After four consecutive draws and then a bye in the last round, AC Nagano Parseiro were looking to kickstart their promotion challenge with a win at home to Fukushima United. Nagano have struggled in front of goal so far, and in an attempt to freshen things up, coach Yuji Yokoyama gave a first start this season to Tsubasa Sano, the team's second top scorer in 2020. To no avail, and at the other end, a lapse in defensive concentration in the 36th minute allowed Ismaila to remain onside, pick up Hiromu Kamada's long ball over the top, and tuck it past Soki Yatagai for the only goal of the game. Nagano's best chance to equalise came 10 minutes into the second half, when captain Kenta Hirose got a free header from a corner to the far post, which experienced Fukushima Kaito Yamamoto managed to push away while tumbling backwards over his goal line. The match duly ended, Nagano 0, Fukushima 1. On their day, Fukushima can be a dangerous opponent, but a better side than Nagano would have beaten them, and as it stands with one win in their first six games, Parseiro remain some distance off the promotion pace. Meanwhile, another team with pre-season hopes of a place in J2 sank to their fourth loss of the year. For his side's trip to Vanrare Hachinohe, Gainare Tottori coach Riki Takagi made three changes to the lineup that squeezed past Sanuki a week previously. But, like Nagano, there's little sense that Gainare might be developing in such a way that would enable them to finish higher than last season. For Masahiro Kuzuno and Hachinohe, on the other hand, early evidence suggests they're making progress towards becoming a solid mid-table team. Against Tottori, they nearly went in front in the 17th minute, but Taichi Nakamura's goal-bound shot seemed to be blocked by the face of visiting left-back Takuya Fujiwara. Hachinohe did, however, take the lead just before the break, when Takumi Shimada outfought defender Junya Suzuki to get to a cross and head past Ken Tajiri. With 20 minutes to go, Gainare were again made to pay for some notably lacklustre defending, as Vanrare's star striker Yosuke Kamigata received a throw-in at the near post and fed it to Taichi Nakamura, who was well-placed to slot past Tajiri from close range. A long trip home for Gainare and their supporters after a match that finished Hachinohe 2, Tottori 0. The team with a bye in round 7 were YSCC Yokohama. So what does all this mean for the current league table? Top of the pile, and now the only team with an unbeaten record, are Iwate with 14 points from 6 games. Then it's Toyama with 14 from 7, Miyazaki with 13 from 7, and Kumamoto with 12 from 7. At the bottom, 4 teams have 7 points, And below them, in 13th position, are Ema Barry with 4 points from 6 games. Then YSCC and Senuki, both with 3 from 6. Looking ahead, I'm recording this episode before the rescheduled Gifu versus Numazu game takes place on Wednesday the 5th of May. This coming weekend, there are no league fixtures, but instead, the majority of J3 clubs take part in the finals of prefectural tournaments, victory in which will see them join Iwate and Tottori in the first round proper of the Emperor's Cup. On Saturday the 8th, in Gifu Prefecture, FC Gifu meet FC Gifu 2nd. In Ehime, FC Imabari meet Shikoku League side Rebeni Rosso NC, and I'm grateful to have a katakana rendition of the team name, given that in Roman script the first 3 letters are L, V and N. Then on Sunday the 9th, in Aomori Prefecture, Vanrare Hachinohe meet JFL rivals Rhein-Mayer Aomori. In Fukushima, Fukushima United will expect a very tough match against ambitious Iwaki FC. In Kanagawa, YSCC Yokohama take on Toin Yokohama University. In Nagano, AC Nagano Paseiro meet regional league side Artista Asama. In Toyama, Katare Toyama play another regional league team, Toyama Shinjo Club. In Kagawa, Kamatamari Sanuki take on Takamatsu University. In Miyazaki, Tegevajaro Miyazaki meet neighbours Honda Lock of the JFL. And finally, in Kagoshima, Kagoshima United take on the winners of Wednesday's prefectural semi-final. FAs in several prefectures have announced measures aimed at limiting the spread of coronavirus in the staging of their local finals. Just some examples are YSCC's game in Kanagawa will be played behind closed doors, and the Kagoshima final will have a capacity cap of 3,500. The Kumamoto FA's response has been to cancel their final, saying they would instead nominate a team to represent their prefecture in the Emperor's Cup. It seems likely, though not guaranteed, this will be Roasso Kumamoto. As for the league schedule, J3 reconvenes with Round 8 over the weekend of the 15th and 16th of May, when the team with a bye will be Gainare Tottori. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now. We'll be right back.